The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, July 21st, and this is laughter. It is a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today, we're going to be talking about third parties and independents. Independent candidates, that is. Third parties and independent candidates and their options, their viability, and be trying to be sincere in terms of their ability to obtain seats. Right, we don't necessarily want to be specific. We don't necessarily want to call the third parties like the COI and judge their eligibility and access to winning seats. But we're talking about third parties in general, in a broader scope. We're talking about those persons who are planning to run as independent in a broader scope, right? So you don't necessarily have to be have a specific candidate in mind. Recently, in the Guardian newspaper, and I encourage you to buy it and actually go and turn to the editorial. It's an editorial written by Mr. Maurice Tynes. We all know who Maurice Tynes is. He used to be, what is his title inside the House?
Isn't he chief clerk?
Chief clerk inside the House. So when I saw this article, I know that it's coming from a section of knowledge and is worth commentary. And I want you to join in to see exactly what is Mr. Tynes' position. I have it here, Aaron. Can you have that to be read into the records for me? I'm going to go on record as a preamble to this article, right? In the history of the Bahamas, at least modern history, there only has been one candidate. And you go and check. We can go and check and call in and correct me if I'm wrong. There's only been one political candidate who ran as an independent. Independent who had both the PLP and the FNM major parties contested the election. And that person has been Whitney Bastian for South Andres. There hasn't been anyone in recent times. Maybe before I was born and I'm not familiar with the history. But in recent times, that means in the past 20, 30 years, there only has been one candidate who vied as an independent, had both the PLP and FNM major parties, contested the general election or the election, and won. Some people would mention, say, what about Tennyson Wells? What about Pierre Depuch? And both these two candidates, they negotiated with the opposition party and had nobody ran against him. Tennyson Wells had no opposition run against him, just the government party. And Pierre Depuch had no opposition ran against him, just the governing party. Right? They negotiated behind closed doors, and that's what was the conclusion. Right? And if you can call another name, that a person ran without there has been both parties contesting the election, I would be happy to entertain, but I know those two names. Also, it also happened in Long Island. I think that was Bill Cartwright. No, it wasn't Bill Cartwright. The name just escapes me, from Long Island, where, again, the person who ran for independent, he negotiated with the opposition, and only the governing party ran against him. But I have never been a independent that ran or contested a seat political parties won. And of course, I'm willing to be challenged on that, and you give me the history of it, I'd be happy to entertain that. But before all of that, Maurice Tynes wrote a letter to the editor, opined, and I wanted that to go to record because I have some responses from social media that had express my sentiments about it also, and I want to have that in the record. I want to know if you consider third parties is a serious option, or they need some time to mature. It's going to be some time in the fire before they make it into parliament. There has been numbers, because we have a constitutional democracy similar to various other countries, where a third party has made some entrails.
They've made entrails.
One is guts and gory.
Yeah, so you technically you weren't incorrect.
Oh, okay, and I want to also use that in this example too, right? But without further ado, like have Aaron read that and go again, purchase the National Guard into and be able to read this article again.
All right, here we go. The letter to the editor's title is Third Parties Should Not Expect Early Success. Every election, dear editor, every election cycle in the Bahamas, new political parties emerge on the scene. They start with high energy and even higher expectations, only to come face to face with reality after general elections. The truth is that third parties have not enjoyed a lot of success in the Bahamas. But you can be assured that very soon, once again, third political parties will surface. There have been third parties contesting elections from 1962, the first general election contested by adversarial political parties. Randall Fox's Labour Party was around prior to 1962. He contested that historic election under the Labour Party and won, and he also won re-elections in 1967, 1968, and 1972 under the Labour Party banner. No other third party has been nearly as successful. In addition to Sir Randall's 1967 candidacy, the National Development Party, NDP, also contested that election but was not successful. In 1968 and 1972, in addition to the Labour Party, the Commonwealth Labour Party, CLP, also contested those elections but was unsuccessful. By the 1977 election, the Free National Movement had splintered into factions, and both the FNM and the Bahamas Democratic Party, BDP, contested that election. The FNM won 2 seats and the BDP won 6 seats. By 1982, the party had reunified under the banner of the FNM. Also, 1977 saw the first appearance by the Vanguard Nationalist and Socialist Party. In 1982, the Vanguard Workers' Party and the Commonwealth Democratic Party, CDP, were the third parties that contested that election. In 1987, Randall Fox revived the Labour Party, which was the sole third party. In 1992, the Democratic Labor Reform, DLR, and the Christian Citizens Party, CCP, had emerged. And in 1997, the Bahamas Freedom Alliance, BFA, and the Survivors Party made their initial entrances. In 2002, the Coalition for Democratic Reform, CDR, and Bahamas Democratic Movement, BDM, made their entrance into the political fray and were joined by the Survivors Party and Bahamas Constitution Party. In 2007, the BDM and Survivors Parties were the only third parties active. In 2012, the Democratic National Alliance and BCP contested the election, and in 2017, there were the DNA, the People's Movement, the Bahamas National Coalition Party, and the BCP. The DNA was still around in 2021 and accumulated a total of 1,497 votes, but disbanded soon after. Other parties contesting the 2021 elections included United Coalition Movement, Kingdom Government Movement, Grand Commonwealth Party, Bahamas Constitution Party, Righteous Government Movement, Faith That Moves Mountains Party, and Bahamian Way Forward Movement. None of these parties or movements garnered more than 600 votes. The Coalition of Independents, COI, which, as its name implies, is an amalgamation of a number of smaller political parties, contested the general election of 2021. It is led by Lincoln Bain, a well-known activist. The COI amassed 8,560 votes, or 6.77% of the total votes cast, but did not win a seat. The party has remained active and visible, and I suspect that it will do better in the next general election. When you examine the results of the last general election, you see why so many parties opt to contest elections. There are very few truly safe seats left in the Bahamas. Only two candidates received better than 70% of the votes cast in their constituencies in 2021, and which could be regarded as safe seats. They were Glenys Hannah Martin in Englestown at 75% and I. Chester Cooper in Exuma and Ragged Island at 72%. Prime Minister and Member of Parliament for Cat Island, Rumkey, and San Salvador, Philip Brave Davis, received 69.80%, which can be rounded to 70%. And given his name recognition, position, and accomplishments, he should be moved into that category. We defer to the wisdom and expertise of the chief clerk. Conversely, there were several current members of parliament who received less than 50% of the votes cast in their constituencies and still won. The list included the now deputy leader of the FNM, Shenandoah Cartwright, who received only 48.98% of the votes in St. Barnabas. The list also includes three sitting PLP cabinet ministers, Keith Bell in Carmichael, Jo Beth Colby Davis in Elizabeth, and Ginger Moxie in Pine Ridge. Other members who did not receive 50% of the votes cast are John Pinder in Central and South Abaco and Iram Lewis in Central Grand Bahama, who has since left the FNM and joined the COI. The list also includes Kwesi Thompson in East Grand Bahama, Mikel Barnaby in Mount Moriah, and Kirk Cornish in North Abaco. Failure to attain 50% of the votes cast in the constituency does not necessarily indicate that the election was close. It was a reflection of the relic of the first-past-the-post system, where a candidate merely needs more votes than the other candidates to be declared winner. There is little doubt that for most of the 10 sitting members who did not receive 50% of the votes cast, the results stem from the lower-than-usual voter turnout in 2021. The results were also heavily impacted by the inclusion of so many other parties contesting in those constituencies. In some constituencies, the votes were split among up to six candidates, and in the case of Elizabeth, there were seven candidates. Even though Colby Davis did not receive 50% of the votes, she defeated her closest rival by 10 percentage points, 48.9% to 39.1%. But do these results mean good news for the COI? Not necessarily. It would take a quantum leap for the COI to improve from 6.77% of the total votes cast to a position where it gathers a sufficient number of votes to become the governing party or even the official opposition party. They more realistically could become a spoiler party, drawing enough votes from one of the major parties to cause the other party to win. The party should perhaps try and convince the other small parties that will surely emerge in 2026 to join the COI and attempt to make most of the constituency's three-party contests. Since political parties were first introduced in the Bahamas, it has taken a few election cycles for a new party to become the government. The PFP, established in 1953, did not win the government until 1967, and it took the support of Folks, a third-party candidate, and Alvin Brainin, an independent member for the PLP, to win the government after 14 years of existence. It took the FNM 21 years and its several iterations in opposition before it won the government in 1992. For the FNM to take root, the UBP had to disband, and most of their leading members had to move off the scene. The ability to acquire the needed financial resources to contest seats competitively throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is daunting. It is extremely difficult for new parties to attract sufficiently acceptable candidates to mount 39 or maybe even 40 campaigns throughout the archipelago. Third parties must think long-term and cannot expect early successes. There are no quick fixes in politics. This snapshot journey through the political history of third-party candidates in the Bahamas was meant to give a realistic glance for success of smaller parties. The fact that so many would-be leaders prefer to establish new parties rather than working within an established organization says something about aspiring political leaders. Stick a pin. We're almost at the end. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not the only thing it speaks to, sir. I just wanted to stick that pin. I am not sure if it is an issue of inflated ego or impatience with working to change the internal culture of a proven political party. It may even be an indication that the Bahamas is as free and democratic a nation as any country. What I do know is that most democracies, especially by those with Westminster structures, have basically two major political parties. Their third parties have lingered for a long time outside the halls of power, and the most they can expect is to make up a coalition where they share power with one of the legacy parties. Sincerely, Maurice Tynes.
I want to thank Mr. Tynes for that. I want something else to be read, but I have two callers who already want to engage. And then I want to engage Ms. Green on that. And again, the conversation is independent candidates, let me call it that, and third parties and their options and their role in the upcoming general elections. I want it to be historical, not necessarily based on current political parties, but the historics of it. Let's go to the first caller. Guardian Radio AM, CA, how are you doing?
Hello.
Go ahead, you're live.
Yes, good day, Mr. Nuri.
Good day.
You move ahead of the class. This is Mr. Angel Karim, Angel Independent Candidate for Garden Hills.
Okay, good.
I ran in three elections. First election 2017 as independent, second election 2021 as independent, and now coming for the third election as going to be for independent. What we realize is education, because what we have found over 52 years, we have not been constitutionally operating according to the Constitution in terms of parliament representation. I'm still trying to find in the Constitution where it talks about party being the only selection or choice for Constitution representation as member of parliament. It speaks to individual or persons running for a particular seat. The Constitution speaks of leadership or governance at the constituency level always. This party notion, which is a subvention of corruption that allows them to bypass constitutional laws to now govern according to a set group or a small quasi-government within a nation to then choose supporters over citizens. We choose a party for leadership who is the leader, so we vote as constituents, regardless of who's the member of parliament or candidate, we vote for the party. Oh, I want Braven, I want Minnesota, so everybody vote FNM. When in reality, the Constitution is designed for voters to look at specifics in terms of who's running in your area and what and who is going to be the best candidate to create improvement or better for constituents at the constituency level. This party talk that we've been running on for 52 years and this media blitz to always push voters to choose a party versus individuals at the constituency level is what flawed the Constitution and why our country can't seem to fix itself. We elect persons who, regardless if they are qualified to come at a constituency level for change, we pick them because they run with a certain party. And then we face the same music every 5 years of this side of the coin getting, this next side of the coin ain't getting, and the average baby like myself who just entered patriotism, who have qualifications and bring something to the table, we are overlooked because we don't ride with a certain party who may be in power. Or we are victimized, because it's real. I've been victimized for the last 10 years. From my run in election in 2017, I've had it hard. But because I'm a determined young man, aspiring from university, from foreign, came home and stayed for over the last 15, 20 years and started businesses to keep me independent and financially secured, that is why they was unable to destroy your lives through politics.
Okay.
Because you want to run it the way it's supposed to, educate the people about the Constitution. It talks about persons vying for a constituent seat.
And I appreciate that, Mr. Hanchel. And thank you very much for your contribution. I appreciate all of that
please,
detail.
Let's educate our people, my brother. I'm tired of it.
Thank you very much. Let's go to the next caller before we start doing the commentary. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Reader AM.
Guardian Reader. Good morning, Mr. Nuri. Ms. Green again. Morning.
Morning.
The gentleman had a good campaign run, but he can't go on talking to make people feel sorry for him to vote for him. He had to put out a platform, let the people know what he's good for in Garden Hills, let the people know what he can do in Garden Hills. But let's talk about the independent candidates first. Far as I know, in the modern day elections, we had one independent candidate in the person of Mr. Whitney Bastian. In South Andres, Mr. Whitney Bastian beat a FNM candidate and a PLP candidate. You can't call people like Mr. Tennyson, Wells, and those independent candidate because when he got a deal with the PLP them didn't run a candidate against him, and the PLP supporters supported him with some of the voters that he got, some of the voters he got from the FNM. Now, when you want to be an independent, you have to be the PLP and an FNM candidate. Okay? Now, this third party thing, as long as there's a third a third party active like the COI, it's highly impossible for the FNM to beat the PLP. And to the CDR, the CDR with Bernie Nordich Doors, the PLP won. In 2012, it was the DNA with Bronwyn McCarthy, the PLP won. In this election coming, in 2021, it was the COI that took the vote from the FNM and the PLP won. Once the COI stays active, it's highly impossible for the FNM to beat the PLP.
All right, Uncle.
See, the base, well, let me say this, Ms. Green, in closing. The base of the PLP don't move. The PLP has a base, they don't move.
Okay,
they
okay, but hold on, okay, hold on, hold on, hold on. Uncle, hold on. Just right there, that's what I want to talk about. But what if it turns out that the base of the COI are disgruntled PLPs? What if
no,
this,
no,
hold
no,
on,
no,
listen.
The
what if this
PLP
massive,
have some people that are mad.
What if this massive jump in engagement and support, right, that the COI has experienced since the last election,
yeah,
is an accumulation of disgruntled PLP workers on the ground?
But listen to me, Ms. Green. Okay, let's use your scenario. Let's go with that. The PLP, they're not good. The average PLP, before they go to opposition, the majority of them, they rather just don't vote, which is just as dangerous. But the COI will get more traction from the FNM as an opposition against the government. See, that's the problem with that. They will get people from the opposition. They're not going to get much. If they get 10 people, two or three of them might come from the PLP.
Thank you very much, Carl. I appreciate it. Just give some commentary about that. I find that when you see the culture of the COI, it is likened to the PLP in terms of the issues that they address.
Mm-hmm.
These are PLP issues. They're not similar to what I call FNM issues or the tractability. So it should be interesting in this general election how the COI panned out in terms of who base or who voters do they pull. Let's go to the next caller, and I have something else I want you to read.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go to the next caller first. Go ahead, caller, Guardian Radio AM.
Yes, good day, Mr. Nuri, again.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to respond to the caller, in fairness to Mr. Angel and every independent, because correct, I'm never afraid to win my seat going against a PLP and FNM. Secondly, just as media gives voice to party side of constitution in terms of viability, candidacy, and member representation, it's the same that should be given, extended to independent voices like myself and others. We know this, and we all can agree, that the only narrative that we spin and push in this country is vote for your party, vote for representation for a party. We never look at...
Good day, Mr. Angel. How you doing? Last election cycle, I invited everybody on my show, and only two people showed up.
I'm sure I'm about to get out of the come because you know me, Miss Green. You're like, you don't know who I am.
I extend the invitation. Anybody could come. Only two people came.
When you do it again, I guarantee I'll be there. Because our voice has to be heard too. Because when you talk about plans, and I have to cut you off because you know I'm a caller. When you talk about plans, being on a platform to allow us to express intellect, we talk about intelligent behemoths who don't want to go with the same tradition of party politics. When we realize that constitution, it talks about constituency change and representation and plans to talk about empowering persons and creating more income to household, increasing employment, okay, decreasing unemployment, creating a better economy for a specific constituency, and finding out issues by speaking with the community to create that dialogue with Parliament and the others so we can come together as a unity to create change as a nation. You can't create change from cabinet choice. And that's what's been the approach with this party vote for party voice mentality that they've been pushing on us. So it took someone like Hanshel, who sacrificed not leaving the Bahamas after he finished university, who gave up scholarships to come back home, to start businesses, to stay around and stay current so I can financially support myself.
Hanshel, I got you. Let me give you some advice. I would advise you right now to reach out, figure out how you could reach out to three people: Maurice Tynes, Sean McQueenie, Casey, And the third person is Carl Bethel, right? Maurice Tynes, because of his expertise and his wealth of knowledge about mm-hmm. the operation of party politics and the juxtaposition of the Constitution to the function of parties, party politics and governance,
but
right?
But that's what I'm not pushing. That's what I'm saying to you. You're trying to steer me
Hanshel, I'm trying to give you some advice, man. I'm an advocate for this. Reach out to those guys because they could explain to you, right, the way that our Constitution was constructed differently from other Caribbean constitutions with the same model. And then you could get a better understanding of why it operates the way it does now. That's it. That's all I'm telling you to do, right? Because it turns out that the way that Pindling constructed this constitution, that it puts the weight, the power, the authority on the parties as opposed to the individuals. I try and give you some advice, Hanshel. That's all.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back from the break, we go to the next caller. But I have something I want you to read by a social media blogger. And I want to put that in the record too so we can comment to that. Mm-hmm, okay? Mm-hmm. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We'll take this quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey kids, it's back. The Jeff Rogers Summer Basketball Camp, July 28th to August 8th at the Kendall Isaacs Gym. Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. for boys and girls, 5 to 18. Pair and learn from the NBA superstars past and present, including our very own Buddy Hield of the Golden State Warriors, Klay Thompson of the Dallas Mavericks, former Laker great Michael Sweet Bells Thompson, another great among the point guards back in the day, Muggsy Bogues, and many others. Application forms now at the Bahamas Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, Tonic Williams, Darling Highway. Call 341-4021 or check the website jeffrogersbasketballcamp.com.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. I have a write-up in response to Maurice Tynes' article from social media blogger Nicole Roberts. And I just wanted to give a credit to it and then read that in.
Hold on. But go ahead. Nicole Roberts isn't just a social media
I don't know
blogger.
If you want all of that to come out after that.
No, but she's a historian.
Yeah, she's a historian.
Yeah, and I think that's important.
That is important.
Who
you are. I appreciate that.
Just like you're a historian, and that's why I defer to you in my analysis, because you add context
yes,
as necessary.
Yes.
Right, so here we go, Mr. Nuri. The piece is entitled, Get in Line, Effie, Wait Your Turn. The opinion piece in this morning's paper offering that third parties in the Bahamas should not expect early success really reminds of the plight of Effie in Dreamgirls. Effie's character in Dreamgirls had talent and commitment, but because these qualities did not come in the right package, money and power influence saw to it that she would stay relegated to a place in the back of the show. The types of glass ceilings, race, prejudice, and such, that impeded the immediate success of majority rule politics, we hoped eradicated in 1967 and 1973. We hoped had been eradicated. However, as one glass ceiling was shattered, others had been inadvertently created. The Bahamas since 1973 has been on a trajectory of solidifying an unbreakable two-party political system. Bahamians can look forward to either having a PLP or an FNM government administration throughout their natural lives. This is the sum total of our mature democracy. That is our peak horizon. My question is, in the furthered evolution of Bahamian political democracy, can a space be carved out, allotted in parliament, for the best place finish among third-party candidates? Is that at all possible? Let's stick a pin right there, hey? Because I think that the parties have been doing that, right? But pre-election, the parties in the roll-up to elections, they size up, they're out there, they size up the best candidates wherever they're from and try to pull them over into their camp. It's a good analysis, right? Is that at all possible? I ask this because voter fatigue, political disillusionment, and the quote, go sit on the beach instead of voting, close quote, ideology is rising among larger and larger groups. If we can carve up spaces to create new constituencies, gerrymander to create political advantage, can we also create a space for the best place third party finish? By way of example, here are a few countries who have made reserve seats of minority parties. Okay, one, Armenia. Electoral law in Armenia requires 4 seats for ethnic minorities, 1 for each of the 4 groups in the National Assembly. Interesting and obviously a result of historic dynamics. Mm-hmm. Brussels, the parliament of the Brussels capital region in Belgium, has 17 reserved seats for the Flemish minority. Another historic dynamic. Croatia, 8 seats are reserved for minorities and 3 for citizens living abroad in its parliament. There are 3 seats for Serbs, 1 for Italians, and a few more for other ethnic groups where a single representative represents more than one group. Interesting. It made me think about Guyana, where it appears as if Guyanese in the diaspora have equal or more political influence than Guyanese people on the ground. Hmm. Okay, we move on to Cyprus. The Republic of Cyprus has many reserved political positions due to its bi-communal nature, with certain posts always appropriated among Greek Cypriots and Turkish Cypriots. Every election cycle, the PLP and FNM go to the Haitian community to ask, with t-shirts and hats in tow, to be their voice in the Bahamian parliament. How long before the Haitian community demand their own Haitian Bahamian representative in parliament? Equally, the people have been demanding a third-party representative in parliament, question mark. I guess it should be, have the people been demanding a third-party representative in parliament? Every registered voter that became so disillusioned and disenchanted that they simply just didn't bother to vote was essentially saying, give us another alternative. Third parties in the Bahamas simply cannot compete with the 2 dominant political parties. The PLP and FNM have decades of accumulated wealth, donor networks, and institutional fundraising capacity. Stick a pin in the face of a lack of campaign finance to the article. They can afford professional campaign staff, extensive advertising, and nationwide ground operations that third parties simply cannot match. Third parties may need to wait their turn for sure. But equally, the dominant political parties are putting enough obstacles in their path to ensure that their time will not come in our lifetime or the next. To balance the obvious imbalances, can a place in parliament be reserved for the best place third party finish? Can we stop relegating talented and committed Bahamian effies to the back of the political show? At the very least, stop the obvious obstructions put in their path and create a way for them to contribute to this, our beloved Bahamian democracy. Is that too much to ask? It's very interesting. It's the end of it. It's very interesting because of the juxtaposition, right? Because if you are not going to adhere to the Public Disclosure Commission Act, if you're not going to engage any real campaign finance reform, any real transparency and accountability in campaign finance or in campaign behavior at all, if you ain't going to change none of that, if you're going to keep operating like pirates, then get to tell people to see.
Yeah.
The alternative is that you fix the systems that exist.
Well, we know they're not planning to fix the systems. In order to get a third-party eligibility, someone needs to intervene and make space for them. And I'm not sure if that's anytime soon.
The question is, can the people
demand it?
Can the people intervene and make space for them?
We watch and see if they can.
Well, let's just make a note again. This piece, Get in Line, Effie, Wait Your Turn, a reference to the Dreamgirls, was written by Nicole Roberts.
Yes.
Historian, social commentator, and social media blogger.
Yes, let's go to the callers here. Go ahead, caller, Guardian Radio AM.
Hey, Aaron.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Warren Neary.
Morning.
Morning.
Aaron, you made the good suggestion, the gentleman, to go sit down and have a conversation with the likes of mine, Sean McCraney, them, and those other good gentlemen. Because obviously the deck is stacked, you know. Mm-hmm. But what you just said, that you guys just said, who makes the decision? The Yemen people. The Yemen people. The Yemen people have this system the way it is. Because when we wanted to change this system, we went downtown with Saranda Fox and sit in the middle of Rosen's Way.
Mm-hmm.
We had enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's the Yemen people. If we want alternative viability, we don't, it don't have to be third party, you know. It could be independent.
So in the long and short, you're saying that the Bahamian people is not interested.
The people know when the Bahamian people send Mr. Davis them to the House Assembly and the PLP and F&M.
So the people who
the
are complaining
people could change this.
And the Bahamian people, the people who are complaining now, it clearly is a minority because the majority is quite comfortable.
Even the minority, you have people who support those party complaining. But my problem is, we believe that this country, the policies and procedures of this country will be built by ministers. When we elect the minister, it ain't the minister, it's policies,
okay.
It's legislation. The only way that can happen is if you put some people in there who can help vote against these bad policies and speak on behalf of you. We need people to represent us in that house. That's what the country's starving for, you know.
I appreciate you, caller. Let's go to the next caller, April. Go ahead, Guardian Radio AM, you're live. Call Gern once. Call Gern twice. Okay, Aaron. The caller who just spoke now, he indicated that it's the Bahamian people.
Yeah.
You and I have rowed back and forth about this before, where you were agitating that things can change and these things could change through lobbying. And I'm saying that the Bahamian people don't want to change. We're quite comfortable with what it is at this present time. And hold on. And what you're agitating, we hear you. We hear all of what you're saying, but we're not interested.
Okay,
we're not interested. We're comfortable with what it is. This is why we vote the way we are. And then you try put, I'm not saying you directly, then you try put the guilt trip on us for concluding that we're comfortable.
Okay, pause right there. Two things. I don't think it's as clear or as simple as that. I think that Bahamians are savvier than we would like to think. I think that Bahamians have made an assessment of what it would take to make the change and whether they have the resources available to them to engage in that process, right? The things that people are faced, the real living dynamics people are faced with, right, that you can't just ignore them. I got children in university. I have elderly dependents that I'm trying to organize their lives and their future, right, with them and for them and sometimes without them because they in the Tree Scorn 10 gang and they don't rule. But the point is that it is possible. I'm not going to beat Bahamians up because they're not making the move. It requires a system, right? Then that's the irony of this conversation. You want Bahamians to move, but you're not providing them a system to move with. And you can't do that. You can't expect that.
Okay, let's go to the next caller. And then we're going to talk about Kalani and the possibility of an independent beating two major political parties, and has it happened in our history? But go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
Good morning, CA.
Good morning.
Morning, Aaron. How y'all doing?
Good.
Okay, Mr. Times, you did a wonderful job on that documentary right now. And tomorrow, let's do a follow-up now on how the PLP up to one time and the F&M up to one time. For the last 20 years, we've been flipping governments every time. And let's do a documentary. All right, Finland do 25 years. Ingram do 10. Then we had five, then 4 years in 3 months. Let's look at how I keep the decline. 25, 10, 5, 5, 4 years and 3 months. How angry the people getting. It could turn even the ending. Let's do a documentary on how Pinlin do 25 years. And for the last 5 years, we changing governments every 5 years. Like, we burning tires. We spinning tires. We ain't going nowhere. Perry Christie stand up on the stage in opposition in 2002, say, Ingram here will let us know about selling Batelco. We can implement the Freedom of Information Act. 20 years later, no Freedom of Information Act. Okay, Mr. Dines, you did a good job on that. Now, you have a lot of knowledge. Let's do the breakdown. How we had a 25-year government. Now, we have, for 25 years, we changing governments every 5 years. We only burning tires and we ain't going nowhere. Y'all have a nice day.
Thanks. And we'll know at this general election, if the PLP is unable to secure another 5 years, then we know that it's going 5-5-5. Because this PLP administration, in terms of being a populist government and doing all those media and strategic moves, they're trying to make sure clinch everything, right? They hired various media personnel. They have answered a number of issues that was trending, right? They have, in quotes, they have done everything right. Of course, there's issues. They have done everything right. A political scheme, not saying
not in terms of governance.
Yeah, talking about a political scheme. So if they're unable to secure this victory, then we'll say, yes, the Bahamian people is just fed up and going left, right, left, right.
What's the point of securing the win if you can't secure good governance?
Two different things. Yeah, but I hear you. Two different things. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM.
Yeah, good morning to each of you. This just on the last caller, let me explain. He's absolutely correct. Here's the problem he had. For 25 years, right, so Lyndon Pinlin was able to show successes and ask for continuation.
No, skip all of that, C. Allen, and go to something else, because I understand that.
But what I'm saying, it brings in, I want you to bring to the point, because this is where the independent seekers and the third parties, they never show competence in what they can do. Their major complaint is always, you have given the other two parties a chance, parties are failures, so elect our party. Mm-hmm. See the oxymoron in that? Mm-hmm. Parties are failures, so elect our party.
Yes.
When it's about leadership that makes the determination and direction we go, and we have not, and the reason why we keep looking for leadership to achieve that which we are seeking, and we have not had them do it, so we go from left to right. And so essentially what happens now is that leadership, even more so today, that you see a battle where people have a disassociation, because the answers to the reality they have today is not been answered, and they have access to more information than they've ever had before, so they have a better understanding of the issues. And so what you do still have is a minority of people with the loudest voice, but the silent majority has and will continue to make the decisions in this country, and that is who you have to speak to, whether you're an independent or a third party.
Okay.
See, Alan, before you go, I can ask you a quick question. You don't have to answer it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So be prepared for it. Where does COI come from?
Out of my bosom. I created the COI, and I challenged them to say they didn't, because they said they're using the platform I created for Alliance for Change, and I am the original. Change ain't coming, change is here. Notice I say isn't coming. I said change ain't coming. Changes here. And I ask you, the Coalition of Independents have no idea what they're talking about. And I challenge them to call me out.
Okay.
Okay. They exist
Thank
now.
You.
The point is they exist now. I appreciate it.
See, the next big question I got to ask Mr. Newry mm-hmm. is, where does COI get all this money from?
That is a question. They have galvanized a lot of dollars recently.
The increase in momentum, the movement has been impressive, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't raise that type of money with dollar drives.
No. They're no longer doing the dollar drives, per se. Before, they were plentiful on the streets with their water bucket. Now they have money.
Right, because
But is it enough money?
I want COI to know, like, your presence is appreciated, whatever it is. Do you understand, though, that you're going to set a precedent now? Mm-hmm. Because if y'all don't expose your campaign finance, if y'all don't publish your own declarations, even if the government refused to publish them, then we can just paint the orange, the same orange y'all like to paint on everybody. We can paint the orange on you.
Let's go to these callers. Let's get ready to read some texts also for our last minutes. Go ahead, caller. We can speed things up, but you're live.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, that's the Allen guy. He always talking over the same thing that he's trying to explain. He just finished saying, people always look to the next government, but he's the same one who's supporting the next government. Like, he don't make no sense. And he's talking about the COI came out of his bosom. If the COI came out of his bosom, why he didn't make it blow up the way Lincoln Bean did? And if it was his idea, and he talk about each different party every year, it depends on who's going to pay him, he could team up with Lincoln Bean and then blow it up even bigger.
Okay.
That's all I got to say.
I appreciate it, Carl. Let's go to the next one, April. Go ahead, call a guy in Radio AM.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. Aaron and Mr. Nuri. The COI, you know, I remembered about 6 months ago, 4 months ago, 5 months ago, right? To mention the COI name on radio shows wasn't even accepted, right? So the question is, where the COI is getting all of these, all the support from, right? But see, you hear the PLP in there.
Hello? Go ahead, Charlie.
Hello, yes, I'm still here.
Yeah.
You hear the PLP and the FNM come on the radio every day pretending that, you know, only them exist, right? But what we have to be truthful is the people who say former PLPs and FNM.
Okay.
Anybody leaving the COI to join the PLP or the FNM? Let's be real. The
Here's
COI
a question.
Momentum is being built off the fact that people are leaving the PLP and the FNM.
I appreciate you, Gola. Thanks. Let's take a run through these texts, Aaron.
All right. Morning, Aaron. Did you realize that Irem Lewis' political career is suicidal? Why Irem made that dumb move? He should have ran in a different constituency. He was rejected by the constituent of Central Grand Bahama.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think Shannon Cartwright moving?
No, but we can see how it goes.
Does it keep saying that?
Yeah.
It says, Nuri, if COI win the general election, who will be the third party? Another text. Yes, we had Bahamian Haitian representatives in parliament in the Bahamas, like Honorable Stephen Dillett, Right Honorable Sir Arthur Folks, Right
they
Honorable
had no party then.
Minis.
Wait, we just had parties in 50. You going all the way to 1800s, man? My God.
AKA the competent authority. However, they want total control of the of our country, the Bahamas. The Bahamas people already know this, and we will change this time. Good morning. I think Bahamians still need to be educated that we are the ones that can change it. But they have the nonchalant attitude of, quote, well, they can do it anyway, close quote. Aaron, I agree it is possible, but we need a very serious movement. I mean, dead serious. More serious than anything we've ever done before in
but
our life.
If I'm uncomfortable with what I have now, why are you trying to guilt me into cheating?
No. So hold on. So I agree with you there.
Mm-hmm.
We're not beating you up. We're not guilting you into changing.
That's what guilt check.
No. If I overhear doing my little thing,
yeah, do your little
and
thing.
You see that and you hear it and it makes you uncomfortable, that's something different.
Mm.
Once I don't come flood your meeting, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? I don't come hijack your meeting mm-hmm. and harass you.
Yeah.
Right? But if I do in my thing mm-hmm. and that makes you uncomfortable, that's something entirely different.
Fish yeah. text.
All right. What is mentioned are the parties that fielded actual candidates. Not those that formed but couldn't raise the nomination fee or signatures for even one candidate or simply stood down or merged with other major parties. I think that person is saying that the third parties listed in yep. the chief clerk's letter to the editor were serious parties. All right. First in class. By establishing the Bahamas as a first in class jurisdiction for data sovereignty and data privacy, we would be able to end or at least challenge the collection and use of data on registrants, such as those holding digital Bahamian citizenship without the right to vote by intelligence agencies and technological companies worldwide.
So let me see if I can squeeze in this caller here. April, pass the caller through. Any more text here?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, caller.
Very church as usual. See you. How you doing?
Doing well, man.
Radio, a Freedom of Information Act is actually counterproductive to any politician, so it's simply not going to happen. I lie?
I hear you.
Is it or is it not counterproductive?
I hear you.
I don't know so if don't, it is or it isn't, but I know it ain't going to happen.
It ain't going to happen because it's counterproductive. Why would they do it? Why would you do something to hurt yourself?
But the Freedom of Information Act that we're going to enact, is the information is going to be like 20 years old. I see no problem with that.
Well, no, I'm bad then. Once 20 years old, but right up and now, it's simply not going to happen. So
yeah.
We might as well just simply stop asking for it.
Yeah. I mean, no, I'm talking about the data that they're going to be given access to the Bahamian people. It'll be 20 years old data. So I don't see no problem with that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Colin.
There's another text. Hey, CA, Britain said it would allow 16 and 17-year-olds to vote in what was being described as the country's largest expansion of voting rights in decades. Do you think that would be a great idea for the Bahamas? In the long run, we may need a new coherent voting bloc who were not previously a part of the electorate. I've voted 3 times since obtaining legal age and have voted differently each time. DNA 2012, FNM 2017, and then COI 2021.
And the age of maturity is 18. I mean, if you want to change the age of maturity to 17 or 16 and face the ramification of that just to have a new voters block, yeah, I have no problem with that.
Good day. Man, why would you say something so exciting? Let me read this text. Good day, CA and Yuri. I want to tell our people, I mean Bahamians, please don't take their shirt, their hats, their paraphernalia. Just take the money and they will get the mess. Don't take nothing.
I have checked the shirts. There's no money in the shirts.
You see a shirt and they wouldn't even bring me a shirt.
I checked the shirts again and always asking for shirts and there's no money in the shirts.
I see people talking about it, but ain't nobody ever offered me any money.
Flam, they getting money from someplace else. It ain't from no shirt.
Listen, I can take the money. I taking 10% to church.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know what gonna happen?
What happened?
When I take the 10% to St. Anne's, Father Braden from St. Barnabas can call me and say, don't forget our 10%. And by
minutes.
The time the Anglicans finish, my whole money could be gone 10% of the time.
I have 2 minutes. Yeah. Let's talk about Kalani. You think independent could be 2 parties?
Yeah.
You think it's possible?
Yeah, I can tell you why.
Go ahead.
Because if Michael Barnett Ellis was the front runner.
You talk about personalities. Go ahead.
And now Deal is obviously, his flyers are out. He's an aspirin candidate.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of tension in there.
Yeah.
Two
you think
candidates.
They will stay home or you think they'll just vote someplace else?
I think they'll vote for Minnis.
They vote for Minnis? And you don't believe the idea that the PLP candidate is very popular. And
who
he's being
candidate?
Ronnie Duncombe. According to the PLP, they're aiming to beat Minnis this election.
What has Ronnie Duncombe done outside of politics?
Campaigning
outside of politics.
Campaigning in the area. Just campaigning.
No, outside of politics, what has he done in the country to show that kind of audition?
He's a tourism official. He's a tourism person. He's just very popular, and that whole area now, he's been canvassing for the past 4 years. PLP thought he was going to secure it with a Minnis leading the FNM. So imagine now what Minnis don't even have a party. They say they can claim it. Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio AM. I see a PLP victory in Kalani. Have a good day.